Hello and welcome to BizNation, your home for micro and small business help. Join us as we unpack all the pain points in starting or running your small business. If you're looking for support in business, join us on Facebook, Micro and Small Business Support Group. Your host, Kerry Zarb, brings you discussions, interviews, and many hints and tips to get you all set in your business. So sit back and enjoy as we launch into today's episode.
Welcome, listeners, and thanks for joining the BizNation podcast. If this is your first time listening, I'm so glad you've found us and happy to have you here. For our regular listeners, a huge welcome back to you, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast series. Now, I must confess, this episode was recorded via an online meeting platform, as all of our podcasts are. But on this occasion, we do have a few minor audio glitches, and I apologise for that happening. As we all know, technology is awesome when it works well. In today's episode, I'm excited to have John Arrigo from MicroKeeper. For those that don't know, MicroKeeper is a top-ranking all-in-one payroll, timesheet, rosters, and staff onboarding system that every growing business will love. Founded in the coastal country city of Geelong, Victoria, John is the co-founder of MicroKeeper, and he has been in the business for over 8 years with his business partner, Joel. John at home has a lovely wife and young son, and he enjoys going out for a morning ride to clear his mind before he starts his day. A massive welcome to the show, John.
Thanks so much for having us, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be here and, excited to get into the podcast for sure.
Fantastic. So, John, can you tell me where did MicroKeeper begin and how did it begin?
Yeah, for sure. It's actually a really good story. So my business partner and myself went to university together. Both, I suppose, massive nerds. We're both engineers. We're both problem solvers and so forth. So Joel and I met at uni. He was studying mechatronic engineering and IT, and I was studying mechanical engineering. So fast forward a couple of years through uni, and we both sort of got placement. He went into a business and I went into a business. And I remember having a chat to Joel and saying to him, you know, we've got these at the business that I'm at, we've got these massive issues. It's so manual. Like the guys come in, they literally go over to a book, write some times in this book. Then our office admin lady, she comes out, she gets the book, she collates all the data manually, puts it into like an Excel. And I didn't even know where it all went, whether it went to like a MIOB. I didn't even know what MIOB was probably. And so it was such a manual thing. And I remember saying to the owner of the business at the time, I said to him, you know, Joe, what, you know, there's got to be something better than this. And he said to me, oh yeah, mate, look, there is. Next time we're out at this place, one of our contractors, I'll show you what's sort of the ants pants. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough. So we're at this place and he showed me one of those chomp card machines where you get your card and you chomp it in. And I said to him, that's just glorified what we're doing. We write it down, they put it into a machine. There should be something that automates everything. And he said to me, I remember he turned around and he said to me, if you've got a better idea, feel free because we're all waiting. And I said to him, I think that was kind of a little bit of a light bulb moment. I remember talking to Joel and saying, Joel, hey, mate, have you got these same problems? And he sort of concurred. And we went out and built this little piece of software. It was definitely not cloud-based. It was literally on like a CD back then. And we were using it for both the businesses that we both were at. And what we found was, as time was progressing, and it was just a very little or very simple little applet idea that you could sign in and off, and then it would collate your hours and sort of collate the monies at the end of it for the office. What happened after that was other people, other businesses that had come in to both of our specific places of work were saying, where'd you get that? Can we grab a copy? And so Joel and I were just handing out CDs of this little piece of software that we built. And I suppose then after that, we probably had our proper light bulb moment and said, hey, maybe this is something that we could actually turn into something. And so we then both decided, with Joel being the lead on it, was let's do this totally cloud. And Joel was very adamant that that's the way we were going to do it. So we went into full development of that while working at the same time and just doing it after hours. And then sort of launched a couple of years later with a product and a handful of clients that were using our old system. And yeah, that's sort of how it all started back, you know, probably that would have been, 12 years ago while Joel and I were still at uni.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Great story. Excellent.
Yeah.
I love those light bulb moments. They're just fantastic to hear about. And I think many business owners have had a light bulb moment, and that's how they've, you know, come up with their product. But yours is awesome. Like that's really good. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Cool. So what kind of business can use MicroKeeper?
Yeah, good question. Like, you know, I suppose the generic answer is anyone who does payroll can use MicroKeeper, rostering, time and attendance, you know. But I suppose if we look at it from a point of view of sort of rewording the question slightly and saying, you know, what best suits, you know, a MicroKeeper type platform, who's going to get the most out of a system like ours? And what I would say to that is it's businesses that have erratic hours, that work off timesheets, have complex awards, have staff maybe that work in different environments, different locations, things like that, where you're really trying to, you've got a lot of pieces to your puzzle, if you like, and you're really trying to get that all together in one simple place. The other thing that we do see is even, I suppose, if you don't have a really complex award, it's large staff counts, because the more staff you have, the more problems you're going to have in payroll. And usually one of the things that Joel and I always like to say is start the way you want to finish. So if you're going to, you know, if you're starting your business and, you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do and hopefully I'm going to grow it and whatever else, don't start off with, oh yeah, she'll be right, let's just do it in an Excel, because what'll happen is it'll slowly snowball, and this little problem that you start off with that you don't foresee as a problem gets larger and larger because you keep just using that old method. But whereas a platform, say like ours, or there are many others out there, you know, usually you'll have like a one employee or two employee in our case, free account. So take full advantage of that, because obviously a business starting up, every dollar counts. So take advantage of a total free account like that. You've got the full scope of use of, say, our product, and you can start the way you want to finish. So the system will then scale as your business does. So as I said, we do see just like businesses that want to improve the process, or that it is very difficult and it's becoming like too hard to manage, are the ones that, yeah, we usually see as our clients.
Awesome. So with the whole process of MicroKeeper, onboarding is normally something that's quite tricky. So if you were like for a business that's already got a payroll system or not, or an Excel spreadsheet, as you said, what's the difference with MicroKeeper for the onboarding process? Is it still quite tricky, or is it a little bit easier?
Yeah, well, what we do is, being that we are cloud-based, and I suppose, you know, the whole can access anytime, anywhere is overused, but the beauty of it is what we do is we put the responsibility back onto the person who has the information. So if we can make the process easier, let's do that. So let's say, for example, you've got that wad of paper that you usually give to a staff member, new staff member, and you say, here, can you please fill this out? Or they come in on their first day and you say, fill it out here. There's always things that it's, oh, I don't know that, it's at home, or I've got, you know, I'm not quite sure of how to do this, or whatever that might be. It might be on their computer or whatever else. And even when they do it, it could be potentially incomplete, or, you know, handwriting, just looking at a 5 and is that an 8 or is it a 5 or is it a 6? So if we can eliminate a lot of those problems, you're going to have a much happier environment for the staff member, the payroll officer, and the business as a whole. So what we do is we do what we call our online onboarding. So the way that works is a staff member that comes, or who is employed by a business, is entered into the MicroKeeper platform one of three ways. So either manually entered by the payroll office, API pushed from the recruiting software, or a bulk upload via like a CSV type format. What then happens is they receive what we call a welcome letter, which gives them their user credentials. So a username and password and an overview of what they're going to see in the platform. when they log into the platform for the first time, and whether that's via just a browser or they've downloaded the app on their smartphone, the first thing that they will see is a box that says complete your profile. So when they click the complete profile button, it'll open up, and what they'll see is like an online tax file declaration, address, date of birth, gender, everything, super fund, member number, all of the things that you would need, banking details, all of those things that you would usually be writing down manually, but you've got it right there. And because you're on a smart device, it's like, okay, I'm not quite sure of my bank details. I don't remember it off my head. No problem. I'll just go over onto my X banking and I'll get the detail, copy and paste. I'm not keying it in manually. So being able to do all of this and the ability to be able to go auto saves so that, okay, I've got that much done. Now I might actually follow up with my accountant, my super or my tax file number or whatever. You can leave it and then you could write a quick email. Hey, these are the other things that I need because it's in front of me here. Talk to that person sends you a response and you fill it out. And as you're filling it out, the business is getting updates. So, you know, you might have 70% of that stuff right at your hand, and the remaining 30, well, we're going to get over the next week or so. But you've got that ability to be able to do it online. I suppose the extension of that in MicroKeeper is what we call our skills and files section, which is the ability for a business then to also give you and retrieve information. So you might give the employee, for example, their employment contract online. You might give them an induction to a site, a code of conduct, you know, anything like that that you need the employee to read over, cite and sign. And the opposite side is retrieving information. So, you know, you're coming into our business, we're a childcare facility, we need you to have a valid working with children check. They can upload that document into the platform under the working with children check section, or alternatively, it could be an RSA, it could be, you know, any of these documents, and whether they've got expiries in them or not, the ability for the onboarding system to be able to document the expiry date and send notifications out and reactivate what we call that skill. So in essence, as time progresses and that skill expires, we can reopen the platform, prompting the staff member, you know, hey, you need to re-update your working with children check. And they simply get that updated form, they log into their MicroKeeper account, take a happy snap on their phone, upload it into the system, and it's as simple as that. So the ability to be able to do all of this with an online platform definitely makes it a lot easier for not only the business to keep track and get relevant information and accurate information, but it also gives the staff member the environment to do it at their leisure, where they're comfortable with all of the information at their disposal as well, without feeling that additional pressure of, I've got to fill this all out and I've got to get it right because I'm sitting in front of my boss sort of thing, or my manager employer. So yeah, overall, the online onboarding process we usually find, liked by both parties.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. God, things have really evolved. Like, I remember being a payroll officer years ago, and you're right, you had manual forms and it was down to the person's handwriting, and it was painful. It was really, really painful. And all that data entry of putting all those details in, and the pressure of getting all the digits right or the spelling correct, and it's really taken all away. Like, it sounds fantastic. That's great. So another aspect of MicroKeeper that I'm aware of is the roster component. So obviously, you know, having a team of even just a few people, and having that ability to roster them so that they can actually know when they're working. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but MicroKeeper shares that roster to the staff members. So what do you see as the key aspect of the roster component, and why do we need that in our business?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. And we do have it as well from businesses who traditionally haven't rostered. One thing in my personal opinion, why I really like the rostering idea, is that with a roster, we're all on the same page. We know what is expected of us as a baseline minimum. Now, what we also can do is, because MicroKeeper is a platform that we can use our rostering and we can display it to the staff member, we can also collect timesheet information, it's now a point of validation. So when we're looking at a timesheet, instead of just looking at a timesheet and saying, oh yeah, that was 8:30 to 4 p.m., then what's our next question? Is that right? Did the staff member do what we want? You know, have they done outside of the scope? Like, you know, then you've got to go and find out more information. So what we like to do is we display our timesheet and roster in an overlay. So you can see it in a graphic that if a staff member is working exactly what you've rostered, the graphic is simply all gray. So you know that they've hit the nail on the head. As soon as we start to see color variation, so it might be red or green at the end or start of the shift, we know that there's been a discrepancy. So doing it via color and a graphical representation means that we can do a few things. One, we can scan it exceptionally quick. So if we're looking at 100 staff members, well, simply we're just scanning our eye down. But the other thing as well is being that we are obviously a platform that includes all of this sort of thing, we can then do our own validation. So we can say, okay, as a business, we'd like to turn on what we'd call, or MicroKeeper call, auto approval. So what does auto approval mean? Well, what it means is we're doing what a manager would do usually, which is looking at a roster, looking at a timesheet and saying, hey, do they match? And if so, let's approve it. So what we can then do is we can then say, okay, well, let's say we know the roster and we know the timesheet. We usually see on average that 70 to 80% of timesheets are correct. It's that 20% mark that, you know, sometimes have variation for various reasons. So if we can instantly cut out 70 to 80% of timesheet data that a manager doesn't have to worry about, well, we've just saved them 70 to 80% of their time in reviewing shifts. And that's a key point of why having rostering is great. So whether you are rostering for casuals, or if it is just a 9-to-5 business, you could set up things like a static roster, because usually a question to us is, well, I don't want to do it over and over because our staff just do the same hours every week. Well, it's no problem. In our suite, set up a static roster and it just rolls out until such time as, you know, you change it. But having a roster in place as well is a great thing when it comes to other facets of payroll, like leave. So when you're asking for, I want this time off from Monday to Monday over a pay cycle, as an example, and let's say you're a staff member that works part-time, you work Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, you work 4 hours. Wednesday, you work 6 hours. And Thursday, you work 3 hours, as an example. Well, if we've got a roster in, or even a static roster for that matter, we now know how many hours per day that you need to be paid out for based on your contract. So instead of it just defaulting and saying 7.6 hours a day or whatever it might be, we know the exact day. So when you select a total time period, we can also look at overlay of a public holiday. Are any of those days that you're taking off a public holiday? How many hours do we need to pay for? And fully automate that process. So when we do a projection and say, you know, I'd like to have time off in December for Christmas, we can look at, okay, these are the hours that they work on these days. This time of the year, when we're looking at, you know, from let's say a 20th to the 1st, we know here are the public holidays within that sequence. Here are the days the employee works. We know that paid hours needs to be 22.1 hours paid, and we can then validate that against a bank. And all of this comes from a roster, because if we know what they're supposed to be doing, we can make a lot more valid assumptions on what's going to happen or what we're actually trying to validate with.
Yeah. And MicroKeeper also keeps track of the leave that's owing as well. So you can kind of cross-reference and use those two elements against each other in the system. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we have like the bank, what their leave bank. So what they've actually got there available. And then we also do projected. So if you are saying, you know, we used to hear it as a common question. It was, you know, a staff member would say, I want to have leave in December. And the next question is they go to the payroll office and say, hey, Kerry, how much leave am I going to have by then? Because I know I've got 20 hours now, but I want to go overseas and I want to take 3 weeks off. Am I going to have the appropriate amount of leave to do that? So with our platform, as soon as they go into the leave section and start changing the date ranges, the system starts doing its calculation. And at the very bottom, it says predicted, it says current balance and total predicted balance. So you can say, oh, okay, I know that I've got currently 20 hours in my bank. they predict, the system predicts based on how I usually work in my contract, is going to be an additional 10 hours. So I'm going to have a predicted total of 30 hours in my bank. So there's no point going, oh, can I have 50 hours? Because I know I'm never going to get there. Or at the same time, if I was trying to aim for like a 28 hour break off sort of scenario, I know I've got the hours there to go. So I can progress through, and I'm not, you know, encroaching on other people within the business to ask questions that a system should automatically be calculating for you.
Great. So it really works to the employee advantage as well as the business. It's a two-way street because they've got access to their information, but it saves so much time on the business front because, like you said, they're not coming to ask those little questions all the time because they can see themselves, you know, where they're up to and what's been happening. And I guess likewise, like MicroKeeper shares the roster to the employee. So for those that have shifts that might change for the casual employees, you know, from one week to the next, that can all be published in advance. And also then they can actually see the hours that they physically worked as well. Is that right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So in what we call the employee console, an employee has the ability to see their roster. We also have a couple of variations on that. So some businesses really like the idea of the staff member to be able to see just their own stuff, which is fine. Other businesses say, I'd like the staff member to be able to see the team that they're working with. So we can also do that. So we can do an additional display of who else you're working with. As well as some businesses like a confirmation. So, hey, here are your shifts. Please confirm that you can do that. And it can all be done through the app via the little accept to decline button next to each shift. Again, a function that can be turned on or off. So if it's in the business, if it's just no, if we send you a roster and it's outside of your availability and you don't have leave within that time period and it's within your contract, we expect that you'll turn up for work. Other businesses like that additional checkpoint. So it's okay, here are 10 shifts that we've assigned to you. Please accept each of these shifts because we want to make 100% sure that you are going to be there at that particular time and that particular date, knowing each of the things that you need to do. So a roster is quite important, not only for just time, but also for potentially for location. So, you know, where are you actually working? Mm-hmm. We can look at things like what role are you playing? Are you the supervisor today? Are you the level one attendant, the level two? And then we can also look at a job. So it could be like, hey, you are the supervisor at location, as an example, MCG, and the job that you're doing is bay 6 to 12 as the overseer. So, you know, a roster can convey all of this additional information, not just the typical, hey, you start at 9, finish at 5 scenario.
Yeah. Quite extensive, isn't it? That's amazing. Another thing I wanted to touch on really quickly, and it's a massive topic, but single touch payroll was launched as a mandatory requirement for businesses in July last year. And you guys must have had quite a bit, you know, to evolve in that space, but it is included in your MicroKeeper setup. Yeah. It's part of the package.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So we were actually the first Australian business to fully integrate to STP, and now again, the first to integrate to STP2. Now, STP is simply, if everyone thinks of the old payroll summary or group certificate, it's that on a pay cycle basis. So we're reporting to the ATO through STP what we are paying to the staff members each cycle. Now, what are the good things about that? Well, obviously it's all linked to the MyGov section. So as soon as the information is lodged, the staff member has access to it through their portal, as well as potentially their BAS agent or tax agent or whatever that is, has access to that information. From a point of view of a business, there's been a lot that people have had to change to. So in the past, every single document potentially that the government would require always had a paper alternative. So if you, like for group certificates, if you didn't have like the old e-dupe file upload, no problem. You just print it all off, fill it all out and mail it in. STP is the first of its kind where there is no manual alternative. So you have to submit it via the ATO's API, and that is the only option. Now, we definitely saw a lot of what happened, and a lot of businesses really, you know, I suppose being, I think, a little scared to begin with. And, you know, it was a big, big change in what they were doing. And from point of view of what are the pros out of STP, other than a lot of just streamlinability, one of the big pros with it is that now, as a business, when it comes to changing a payroll suite through the year, because you've been lodging it every single pay cycle, your data to the government, there's no, oh, you might have to have two sets of group certificates, one for one sister, one for another. And with all of that pre-accumulated information, because they've already got it. So when you finish with one system, start with the next, it just seamlessly takes over. And I suppose the other really big benefit for a business is now knowing that the payroll sector almost has a regulator, because in the past, there was nothing to stop somebody going out, building a payroll system and saying, here, Kerry, you use it. And, you know, we're telling you it's right. Well, now with the government, everyone who is STP compliant has to be ISO 27001 certified. So that's all around security of your data, where your data is stored, backups, audits, checks of server farms, all of it, you name it, and that they do it. It's primarily around security, and knowing that if you didn't comply with the security, you weren't granted access to the STP portal. So from a business point of view too, you can now not only just say to a payroll provider when you're looking for one, hey, oh, do you comply with this or do you comply with that? And they can just say to you, yes, and with sort of no, I suppose, consequence. You can now jump on the ATO website and just search STP approved softwares, and you will see a list on the government website of all of the softwares that are approved. So you've got peace of mind going forward that, you know, the software that I'm using is fully validated, is fully secure, and has passed the government's stringent testing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. And I agree with you. And I think if anything, like I personally like STP, I think it's something that businesses probably needed, but employees needed as well, because like you say, yep, Everything's getting linked these days. So your MyGov, and I remember going to the accountant and, you know, oh, have you got all your group certificates? And you know, before you went to the accountant, you had to go through like that horrible paper tray that you had somewhere in your house and, you know, gather everything together. But now being everything's electronic and ability, they can grab it for you. They can actually, you know, log in to the back end of their system and grab your STPs and all your group certificates and draw it all down for you. So it's taken a lot of headaches away, I think, and having options like MicroKeeper and many others that, you know, help in that process and take those pain points away for businesses has been fantastic, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree. And I think, you know, everything that's a change is always difficult to begin with because we don't know, you know, what we've got ourselves in for. But overall, I think once it's adopted and it just becomes the new normal, it's a much more streamlined process. So you do see at the start that, you know, it's definitely a change and something to learn new. But then once you've got your head around it, I think overall it's a more pleasant experience, as in it's just so much easier. You don't have to, you know, chase up and so forth like with group certs. And especially with group certs, you know, it was always that time of the year at the very end where you're trying to make everything balanced. Have we got all the right data? And because you're doing sort of micro amounts, if you like, because it's once a pay cycle, those problems don't get to escalate. So when you've got something that doesn't quite work, well, you've found it, and where do I look in this pay cycle? Because it's going to be somewhere there. So yeah, overall, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And so John, tell me, what does MicroKeeper not do? Like it seems like the looming question, like it sounds like it just like does so much.
Yeah, well, it does. It definitely does. And I suppose, you know, we can't take the credit for that here at MicroKeeper, because the way our product does continue to evolve and does continue to sort of, if you like, do everything that's needed is through our clients. So one of our big things is we can't fix a problem if we don't know it exists. So we say to all of our clients, no matter what size, what industry or whatever it is, once you've been using the platform for a few months and you've got into your groove, please tell us if there is any little issues or any little problems or things that arise that you are doing manually, because that's how we can fix it. And usually if you've got that problem, somebody else in your industry has probably got the same problem. And what the majority of people sort of, I suppose, usually think is it's like, oh, they're not going to listen anyway, and this is just the way we've got to do it, which is totally not the case with us. We're totally the opposite, and it's, you know, please tell us, because that's what we're always trying to do, is always evolve the platform and bring new things to businesses in the way of streamlining. And, you know, a perfect example of that was actually our skills matrix. That was a request of a client. We had a client that was really had some issues around compliance, and it wasn't so much that they didn't have the documentation. It was they had it, but it was accessing the documentation. So what was happening was they would have an audit, like a safety audit, let's say on site, and they would say, okay, we need to see all of our staff members on sites our X license, as an example, or this induction or whatever it is. Now, when you've got three people on site, it's pretty easy. You can go over and you can say, hey guys, do you have this information? Someone might have it in their car. Someone might have it in the lunchroom. Someone might put it in their lunchbox. No problem. We can get that. And that's pretty easy. But you start to multiply that up. And if you've got 800 people on site on one of a big complex, you know, in one of the main cities doing a high rise, well, that becomes a very big deal. So when you've got compliance around, I need to see this licensing, and, you know, staff need to have this licensing to be on site and to be insured, well, we want to be able to get that and get it very fast when we're asked about it. So they came to us and they said, hey guys, this is a problem that we're having. You know, when we shut down a site, we have to shut it down in sectors, and it could really ruin an entire day. And especially if, you know, it's in the construction sector, which this one was, and, you know, there's concrete going off. Well, concrete doesn't stop going off just because you've got to find a license. But at the same time, we need to find it because, you know, we need to make sure that that person has actually done all the appropriate training to be standing where they are in a safe manner. So that's how the skills matrix actually came about. So we developed this, what we now call the skills matrix, where all of this data could be uploaded. So if you do have that audit and there is somebody on site requesting this information, it's as easy as logging into the MicroKeeper platform, going to the skills management section, choosing the skill that you're wanting. So in this, let's say this case, it's a construction induction. You choose that particular skill, and it just goes, here are all of the skills. There they all are, all of the people, all the appropriate uploads, all been approved by management. So they've been checked, so that then you've gone, here they all are. I can email them to you. You can look at them right here on my iPad, and you're not disrupting the entire site. But that was something that potentially we would have never thought of, you know, at all. And it was only that they brought it up to us. And now we see, you know, so many businesses use it, you know, and they use it for a variety of different things. It's not only doing things like, you know, that induction, but, you know, it's they're using it for employee contracts, they're using it for you know, all of these different facets of things that, you know, one little tip off has actually helped improve, you know, a whole scope of other problems just by one feature. So yeah, definitely something that I suppose we never say we can do everything, because if we did, we wouldn't have to do anything. But at the same time too, the whole, I suppose, ethos is that evolution and knowing the problem and being able to, you know, facilitate a solution for everyone.
Fantastic. That sounds awesome. So MicroKeeper's really evolved from a payroll system into a full HR suite.
Yeah.
Got a lot.
It does. Like we sort of say our pillars, I wouldn't go into and say full HR, we'd say core HR. So You've got your core HR, which would include like your onboarding, your leave, your skills and files and all of that sort of thing. You know, you've got your rostering, which we touched on with, because we're a payroll system, you know, we can do, you know, a full management of how much is that going to cost for budgeting and forecasting, time and attendance with roster overlay, obviously payroll with custom award interpretation, STP, super clearing, you know, so sort of total end to end of what we call employee management is sort of, yeah, our focus at MicroKeeper.
So John, does MicroKeeper have any technology developments that have happened during COVID or as a result of COVID?
Our newest technology, which is facial recognition, which was only released probably 4 months ago. People like to see that. And then obviously at the start of this COVID, probably about a month ago, we released a new module to it, which was temperature screening. So in essence, what it does is you've got the facial recognition unit, the temperature screen unit on the top. You present yourself in front of it. It in essence says, it does a quick facial scan, scans your temp, and then if you are below the threshold, it'll clock you on. If you are above the threshold, it'll display a message that is custom by the business. So the business might say, as an example, hi, John, we have detected that you have an elevated temperature. Return to your vehicle. Do not interact with any other staff member and seek medical advice. If social isolation or if isolation needs to happen, please start immediately. And you can do something like that. And what we've seen is, like, in my personal opinion, I sort of think that it's a good thing, but I think at the same time, it's a massive overkill because people were screaming to us for something and we built it. But it's like, this is, until, like, a vaccine is imminent. That's 100%. Until that vaccine is in the masses and we've all got it, it will be like the flu. No one will care about what COVID-19 is. And talk to someone, in 3 years' time and they won't even remember, if they were a young person, what this even event happened or was. So I'm like, yeah, it's a good thing at the moment and potentially for the next 18 months that we might use this technology. But I think overall, it just needs to be something that I think, if anything, it's taught everyone maybe a bit of self sort of respect for each other in that if you are sick, let's not pass that around. And, yeah. I suppose the old Aussie way of she'll be right, mate, I can hack it. It's kind of the situation of no, don't hack it. But yeah, she'll be right. You can stay at home and work if you don't feel sick, but don't come into your office space, infect everybody else, even if it's something meek and mild. Just be considerate of everybody. I think that might be a take out of this potentially. I don't know.
So, John, I like to ask people that come onto the show to give me a key takeaway, a take home and something positive that they've experienced from COVID-19. Do you have something that you'd like to share from your COVID time?
Yeah, look, I think what's been something that has been a positive that we've seen not only in businesses that we interact with on a sort of a daily basis, but even in our own business here at MicroKeeper is how productive people have been and how different businesses have adapted to this situation. So, it's just been that fantastic fighting spirit of, let's turn, let's pivot, let's make the best of what we have at the moment. And whether that's adapting to working from home and sort of being in somewhat of an isolation and in conducting meetings on Zoom, on Teams, on any of these platforms, or hey, we're a cafe and we had to be shut down, so let's go into an online method and let's do online ordering, let's do takeaway, let's deliver things to people. So I think that ingenuity of businesses to actually adapt and pivot, and realistically, it's pivot very, very quickly. This has all happened so fast, and it has really been, obviously unprecedented. We haven't done it before. No one's experiencing it. We're literally winging it, and we're doing such a good job as Aussies, and I think we can see that we're really in a great position, and I suppose almost the envy of the world, because the containment, I suppose, has been one thing, but the containment has only been only had the ability to be so good because everyone's been on board and has adapted and not just, throwing their hands up in the air and going, no, I'm going to keep going the way I am, I don't care. They've actually just jumped on board 100% and said, no, look, we'll figure this out. We can solve this together, and really made it happen. And working from home, being productive, staying connected when you're disconnected. I see that as being such a massive positive that we can take out of this and into the future. That it doesn't matter where you are and what you're doing. You're always connected. You can be connected. And it's something that's now, I suppose, it's a new normal. You can be connected without being connected, in effect.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And I have to say that, yes, it's definitely something to be proud of with Australia and the way that we've all coped. And like you said, businesses have pivoted, and that's been amazing to see as well. So, and you're right, it all happened so quickly. Like, it was just insane, the speed. You know, I think so many businesses changed in a matter of, you know, a week or two. Like, it was just incredible to see, and I think definitely a positive for the business community. So John, where can we find MicroKeeper? Give us a bit of guidance.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously we can just jump onto the website microkeeper.com.au and you can take a look around at the platform. But at the same time too, if you prefer to talk to someone, we always like having a chat. You can definitely get us on our office line, 1-800-940-838. And you can definitely talk to one of our team. They're more than happy to have a chat. No question is a stupid question. And they're always there to help and sort of give guidance where they can and point you in the right direction when it has to do with our platform of what they've seen in the past with other businesses in your sector. So yeah, definitely can jump on board that way. Or alternatively, we also do have our contact form if you prefer the email and it's after hours, things like that. You can definitely get through to us there. We can definitely look at scheduling a demonstration, whether it be via Zoom like this or whoever, to bring you up to speed on all the elements of the platform. And sort of even if it's just a gauge on, hey, what's actually out there? I'd be interested, you know, to see what's available. I might not be interested in using the entire platform, which, you know, we've got many people that just use components of it. So yeah, just to get to know what's available, what's out there, where's a bit of a benchmark or what can I have out of this? Yeah, more than happy to always have a chat and engage where we can.
Awesome. Thanks, John. I really appreciate your time. I've learned a few new things about MicroKeeper that I wasn't aware of, and self-confess that I have used MicroKeeper in the past, and it was an amazing platform. I started with MicroKeeper when they were quite new, so that was a little bit of a learning curve on both sides. And thanks, John. Appreciate your time.
No worries at all. Thanks, Kerry, and thanks for having us on today.
If you would like to know more about BizNation, we can be found at biznation.com.au. And if you're not already a member of our community on Facebook, you can find us at Micro and Small Business Support Group. If you're enjoying the BizNation podcast, I would be so grateful if you left a review, as I'd love to mention you and your business in a future episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the BizNation podcast, your home for small business help. If you're looking for support in business, join us on Facebook, Micro and Small Business Support Group. You can find the link on our website, biznation.com.au. Tune into future episodes for more discussions, interviews, and many hints and tips to get you all set in your business. Until next time, stay safe, stay well.